Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is part 170 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And if you have your paper, pencil, or pens ready, this is program 272. And if you'd like a copy of it, CD or audio tape, all you need to do, Sharon will give you four different ways that you can order it at the end of the program. It's free, and same with postage and handling. And if you'd like a Messiah book or some of my other literature or other tapes or CDs, you can get them free of charge. And if you're not able to afford a Bible, we'll send you a Bible as well. We have some Bible reading today. We have some testimonies, and also we will, more than likely, the Lord is letting me know, get back into the comparing Roman canon law with the law of God. They're exactly opposites, totally opposite. The Roman canon law is the law that we currently live under. When we placed ourselves into the United Nations, I know that a lot of people believe that if we didn't join up with all the nations, that there wouldn't be any possible way that we could fight off the enemy. But by joining the World Council and the United Nations, we were totally invaded. We've given all of our wealth away, our car manufacturing companies, all of our wealth is in Japan now, which was our former enemy in World War II. And so the United Nations, which is headed by the city of the Seven Hills, Rome, this is where Satan's seat is. The Bible states that Satan is called the Great Red Dragon in some places in the Bible, and his seat is in Rome, Italy. And he has made a contradictory law of God, which is called Roman canon law. Now, it was the Romans that dreamed up democracy. That's where the mob rules. In other words, the Bible shows us that the people of the world have always been wrong. Just like God only spared eight people, Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives, and he drowned everyone else because the mob, the whole world, was wrong, and only Noah was right. And so democracy is a Roman carnal way of government where all the people have their say. And there isn't anything worse than having people have their say. Now, you probably think that I'm not a patriotic person. I'm not patriotic to Rome. I'm patriotic to God. Now, God said that he didn't want us to be amassing ourselves into one world nation, because that's why he came up with other languages. When all the people of the world get together, all the nations, and they all speak one language, in other words, there's only one law, and it comes from Satan's seat in Rome, this is devastation. It's the abomination that maketh desolate. It makes the entire world desolate. And that's what God said is the abomination of desolation. He says, when you see this happen, then look up and know that your redemption draweth nigh. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so people, it's gone. They did it in such a satanic way. Silently, they crept in. And during World War II, they started forming NATO. So they called in Russia. They fired the two people that could have won the war by their two generals, Patton and MacArthur. And that put an end. Then they hired this Caspar Milquetoast General Eisenhower to be over everything. And he was pro-NATO, pro-one world government. And when they put him into office and to the head general and over all the generals in the United States, they fired General MacArthur, who knew he could win the war, and Patton, General Patton, who knew he could. And we would have been one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, a nation under God. But now, by putting in Roman canon law, we have what they call democracy, which was conjured up by Rome. Now, all this is testified. I was watching the History Channel yesterday, and all they did was played all about Rome, and they even stated that. The History Channel says democracy comes out of Rome, the city of the seven mountains, where Satan sits. This is the seat of Satan, is Rome. And what they do is they put the mob in charge. And then what they do through the media, which is the mouth of Satan, the major media, they say, of course, not all media is bad. Some smaller portions of media is okay. Sometimes, anyway. And they say, now we have to obey the democracy, and it's the mob is in charge. We say, well, sure, it's supposed to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. Of, by, and for the people. What the people means, the mob. But what the Lord said is that we're not to have any king, meaning president or anything, over us other than a king that believes in God. Because in God, there's no separation between church and state. Moses was the one that was running the church, and he also ran the government. Because it all has to coincide, the government and the Lord. The Lord has his government, and the world has their government. Their government, they call it democracy, but really what it is Satan's, he's a dictator. It's dictatorship, because the media is able to shape the minds of the people that are in the world to where they think that something is absolutely right. If the media says that somebody is a Hitler, if he's a child molester, if he's a sicko, if he's, they brainwash the mob. And then the mob wants to lynch you because of what they say. Right now, the mob, the History Channel, carnal people in media, is saying that Jesus really didn't die on the cross, and that he was having sex with his different women, and just dirty, filthy, scummy lies, attempting to bring the Almighty God down to their scummy level. And so the mob believes this, and so they begin hating anyone that is preaching the gospel. And telling people Jesus said, they say, who is Jesus? He's like having sex with whores, and he's having sex with, you know, people that come to him. It's like a cult. So that's why the mob, or democracy of and by and for the people, is wrong. You say, well, then what are you advocating, dictatorship? Yes, I am, but only when God is the dictator. Because God doesn't allow things like that. He said we have to follow God. God is our creator. God is the one that sent his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believeth in him, that means Jesus is the Word of God, whoever believeth in the entire Word of God will automatically do good, and there will be no wars anymore. And that's what the bottom line is going to be, is that there's not going to be war anymore. When Satan, this democracy, and the mob are burned up. Now, the Lord destroyed the mob once, and he's going to destroy them again because they're doing the same thing that they did when the Lord got angry at them for their sin, their riotous living, and all the terrorism and things that's going on in this world today. Can you see that the mob has been influenced into believing that the Jews are bad and Christians are evil? And who did this but Rome, its government, and the media? Now, everybody is a cult, they say, but Rome. When in reality, Rome is the most dangerous, filthy, dirty, lying mob dictator in the world. It's Satan himself. Now, people have to make a choice as to whether they're going to believe God or Satan. And in so doing, you're choosing your own fate. You're calling down condemnation on yourself if you're rejecting what the Lord says in favor of Roman canon law. And whether you know it or not, I doubt it because you're so naive. The Bible says that the whole world has been deceived because you are living under Roman canon law right now. Rome does not honor the U.S. Constitution. As a matter of fact, all the popes have said, to hell with the U.S. Constitution. Well, I'm for the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion. Even though when you have your freedom, when you have religion, you're going to wind up in hell unless you repent, because there's only one way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and that is through the Bible, the Word of God, through Christ. Christ, again, is the Word of God. But right now, we're going to get into all this a little bit later, so make sure you stay tuned, because you're going to learn something. You're going to learn the right thing, rather than the way you've been taught. Ever since you've been born, you've been taught the wrong thing. That is, unless you've been born again of the Spirit and you've been studying the Word of God. So right now, as I said, we're going to have some testimonials, and we're going to have some reading and all these different things. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to bless the remainder of this service. Father, open up the minds, hearts, souls of everyone so that they can get everything in proper perspective, the perspective of the living God, the wisdom of the living God, so that they can learn how to live life according to that which would please you, so that they can get into heaven. And that, Lord, they will reject every evil thing, all the things that Satan, his church, his government, and his media is teaching. It's such an abomination. It's the abomination that makes everything desolate in this world. And Lord, let them hear and receive the words this evening that their souls may be saved. And Lord, even the churches have fallen away, and the people of your body, because all we hear all the time is in the news media, most of the news media, is the teachings of Satan. The children in the world, the unsaved children, are being taught these things in these public schools, because the public school system has been taken over by these people that speak democracy and have made the word democracy seem like it's a good thing, because we the people have the right to speak up. You have the right to speak up, but you don't have the right to, when you hear these lies about people, to not seek the source or hear the other person's side of the story, and then begin with a mob, and you're going to run people, Israelites, into the ocean when God gave them that land. God's going to destroy the people that come up against Israel and come up against the children of the Lord and come against the Word of God, God and Jesus. So Satan has made war, Lord, against you. And Lord, we ask that you teach them a lesson. I know that when the 144,000 Jews are saved, Father, and when the mark, your mark, is put in their foreheads, and that's happening right now, that then the four angels in heaven are going to be destroying the earth, the people in it, and the sea and the people in it. Lord, I pray that people will wise up and begin realizing that we're really at the end of time, that their souls might be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, Jesus is the Word of God, and he is the wisdom and power of God. So when the song says, Jesus, yes, Jesus loves me, that means Jesus, the power of God, loves me. And Jesus, who is the Word of God, means that, yes, the Word of God loves me because it teaches me how I should walk in this world. Yes, the Word of God loves me. Yes, the power of God loves me. Yes, the mercy of God loves me because the Bible tells me so. The Word of God tells me so. In other words, Jesus tells you so. The Word of God is Jesus. And here is the live choir, which is conducted by H.B. Barnum. I believe I think he's the one of the top five, at least, arrangers and producers in the whole world. And you just listen to this song. It's like a praise and worship song. And be praising and thanking the Lord that the Word of God loves you, that the power of God loves you, and all these are the Word of God, because Jesus is the power and the wisdom of God. So yes, wisdom of God loves you, because the Bible tells you the way to walk so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that's true love, amen?
Amen.
And so people that reject the love of God, which is the Word of God, which is Jesus, which also is the wisdom, the power, the understanding, the knowledge of God. God, Jesus, gives you the power to get into heaven and the wisdom, the fear of God. So let's hear it from the Life Choir. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. The wisdom of God loves me. The Word of God. The straight and narrow path. But if you receive the Word of God, He is the power of God to get you into heaven.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Word and power of God is Jesus.
Yes, my Jesus loves me.
The wisdom loves you.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Word of God loves you because He leads you into heaven. Just praise and thank the Lord for His power and His wisdom and His knowledge, the Word of God, for Jesus. Raise your hands up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wisdom of God. No man gets into heaven but by me, Jesus said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Woo! Did you know that Jesus is the Word of God? The Bible says so. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in this is the John chapter 1, verse 1, and then you go down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word, which is God, and was with God, and is God, became flesh." God became flesh. And his name, when he was born, the flesh, his name, Jesus. So the Word of God created all things, and the Word of God is the wisdom and power of God. Jesus is the wisdom and power of God. Praise the Lord. And there's a verse of the Bible that tells us that. Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. And Sharon, will you read it for the people? Please.
In whom are hid all
okay,
the treasures.
Okay, read the verse before.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance.
Now, love is the keeping of God's commandments. That's what love is. It doesn't mean sex, or it doesn't mean hugging or kissing or anything like that. It means the keeping of God's commandments. All right, then what?
And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom.
Okay, in Christ, who are hid all the treasures of what?
Wisdom.
Okay, the fear of God. Wisdom is the fear of God. The beginning of wisdom is fear. Wisdom. Okay, and wisdom is fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Okay, then what? Read that again, verse 3.
In whom are hid all the treasures of...
In Christ are hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom?
Wisdom and knowledge.
And knowledge. Okay, so when you read the Bible, you're hearing, you're seeking out the hidden wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. Now, it is the wisdom of the Lord to hide things from people, because he wants to know who wants to be in heaven so bad enough to seek out the Word of God to find out how they should walk in this world today. Okay? And so that is a very important scripture. And then we have 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 30, and tells that, now the Book of Wisdom, the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom. And the 8th chapter of the book of Proverbs tells about Christ being the wisdom of God. That's Old Testament. You know, Christ is throughout the whole Old Testament. That's how you wouldn't be able to understand the New Testament unless you heard of all the 333 prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. And unless you studied Christ, the wisdom, which is the Bible, the book of Proverbs, and all the rest of the books in the Bible, but mainly the book of Proverbs supports that the key word in Proverbs is wisdom. They are quite similar to the words that are found in the wisdom of God. The ability, and this wisdom gives us the ability to live life skillfully. A godly life, which means a life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the wisdom of God. And the power of God to keep all the commandments. We can live a godly life in Christ in this ungodly world. And even though it's not as simple an assignment, what it is it's the wisdom of God has to be, it's hidden. And therefore, we have to seek it out. So Proverbs provides God's detailed instructions for his people to deal successfully with the practical affairs of everyday life. one of them is how to relate to God, how to communicate with the Lord, and how to listen for God to communicate to you, and how to submit yourself under godly parents, and how to be a good testimony to your parents if they're not saved. And if you're a parent, how to show the wisdom of God before your children so that they can see Christ in you. And by seeing Christ in you, it convicts them and causes them to want to desire the same wisdom and power that you have. And the book of Proverbs also shows you how to deal with your neighbors, and so that they can see Christ in you. And the governments of this world, which need to be saved, the people in government. So Solomon was the author of the book. Some people believe there are some other writings in it. He uses a combination of what some people call poetry, but it's the spirit of God. It's not like some poet. And there are parables, and there are truthful questions and answers. There are some short stories in it, and wise maxims to give in strikingly memorable form, the common sense and divine perspective necessary to handle life's issues. Now, life actually is in Christ. The temporal life that we have is not real life. We must give our temporal life over to the Lord. There have been some people that have written in and said, do I realize, you know, that what the true Sabbath day is? I've written a piece of literature that is called The True Believer's Sabbath. The true believer's Sabbath is we have to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ every day. So every day is Sabbath day to a true born-again Christian. The Old Testament Sabbath is one that Jesus broke on many occasions because he said that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Amen?
Amen.
And so Sabbath was made, in other words, Christ is the Sabbath. And so man has been made to rest. He says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath, or rest. He wants you to rest 7 days a week from your old work and begin resting in the Lord so he can show you the things that he wants you to do, because he's the wisdom and the power of God. Not only does he show you how to do it, but he gives you the power to do it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so because Solomon, the principal of the book of Proverbs, and the principal of Israel's wise men, was the principal contributor in the Old Testament. The Hebrew title of this book is MISHELESHELOMOH. That means the Proverbs of Solomon. Okay, and so there are many words that are in the book of Proverbs. We have to concentrate on many words into a few. But the Lord makes it so easy for us to understand wisdom. We need to humble ourselves before the Almighty God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ into our bodies, into our spirit, and let him lead us by the Spirit. That is the wisdom and the power of God. The power of God is the Holy Spirit, and Christ, when he ascended into heaven, became the Holy Spirit. And he when he was here in the world, he was confined to time and space in one human body. But now that he kept all the commandments, his spirit which is the Comforter, he can send into you. And he now lives, we, those of us who accept the Lord, into our spirits. Our spirits are changed from mortal to immortal. And we are like many, we're the incarnation, the continuation of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he can send us all over the world, thousands of us, millions of us, if we'll let him. But if we reject the wisdom and the power of God, well, then there's no hope for you whatsoever, because there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved than the name of Jesus. And the Jesus is the Word of God. So if you read the Word of God and put on the whole armor of God, which is the whole Word of God, then you'll make it. All right? And if you do what it says. Now, we go to 1 Corinthians 1:30.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Because of the Lord, you are in him, Christ Jesus, in the Word. You're in the Word. You're into the Word, which is Christ, which is the power and the wisdom of God. The Word of God is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God, the Word of God. Then what?
Who of God is made unto us wisdom.
See, Jesus, the Word of God, is made unto us wisdom. Because why is it wisdom? Because there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Okay? There's no other wisdom. There's no other way to heaven. So Christ is the wisdom of God for us for salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're not saved, you're going to burn forever. So what other wisdom is there? There's nothing more important in this world than to fear God and keep his commandments. And his commandment is to receive the word of God, Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Word of God, and the wisdom and power of God, that whosoever believeth in the Word of God, Jesus, the power and wisdom of God, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's wisdom. So forget everything else in the world. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. There's nothing else. Why devote any of your precious time to anything other than that which will get you into the kingdom of heaven forever? All right? People sometimes, you know, women, they're primping their hair and they're plucking their eyebrows and they're putting smearing lip gloss and all kinds of stuff on their face and picking their ears and their noses and, you know, curling and, you know, they could be reading the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Seeking wisdom and knowledge. You know, King Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs, he didn't ask for riches. He asked God for wisdom, and the Lord gave it to him. God gave him the book of wisdom. Proverbs, wisdom, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. According to the word of God, he was the wisest man in the whole world until the end, when he started doing the opposite of what the Lord told him to do. He told him to marry only women that were of the Lord. And he started marrying other women, and they got him into idolatry. So this could happen to Solomon. It could happen to you if you're foolish at the end like he was. No matter how long you've served the Lord, there isn't anything more important than to accept him, his word, and do what it says. Be ye not unequally yoked with the unbeliever. You've got preachers saying, well, God loves you unconditionally. That is the biggest lie, one of the biggest ones. That everything with God is a condition. He said, if you break one of these commandments, he says, you've broken them all. And the Bible really tells a lot about people being saved and then falling away unto the Antichrist. And it tells about people that have fallen away, that they... there's no more repentance for them. Well, sir, you like to go to churches that tell you that, oh, yes, you can do anything you want. There's people that say, yeah, well, the Lord washes all your sins away, but they don't say the former sins. They say, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Yes, sins not unto death. But if you get back out into being a whoremonger, a prostitute, or a lesbian, or a homosexual, if you continue lying, stealing, and not honoring God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Well, that's why so many, there's a lot of people that said they don't want to come to my ministry, because it's we preach it the way it is in the Bible. And we have all the scriptures to back it up. He that is of the devil, he that sinneth is of the devil. I was just hearing one of them from Atlanta, Georgia. He always says, God just loves you unconditionally. Of course, you're going to sin. Let me tell you something. A person that sins is not going to get into heaven. That's just plain and simple. That's Bible. Now, you shouldn't listen to these guys or women that tell you that kind of garbage, that you can sin and get into heaven, because there's nothing that is sin that's getting into heaven. These preachers are weak, and they want you to be weak too. They know they're going to hell, and they want you to go to hell in the lake of fire with them, and Satan and his angels. Okay, so read that.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Okay, so Christ is our sanctification, our redemption, and wisdom and power to stand until the end. Now, a lot of people, they just want to lust. They lust the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the pride of life, all these lusts. Flesh, they like to even fantasize. They have fantasies. The Bible says if you're lusting in your heart, you're the same as committing fornication or adultery. So, you know, and you think that God doesn't see you. Well, you're a fool. Anyone that doesn't believe that there's a God that sees and hears everything, you're a fool. Okay? And you'll find out you're a fool on the last day. But I want you to know before, because I don't want your soul to go to hell. Repent. And believe the gospel, the Bible, but Jesus. Because if you don't, you're lost. Okay? Now, let's read a little bit of chapter 8 of Proverbs, because that is the proverb, that's the chapter that tells about Jesus.
Doth not wisdom cry?
Does not the Jesus cry, send messengers after you to tell you the truth? The power of God, does it not cry to you, telling you, come on, receive me into you so that you won't burn in hell in the lake of fire? Then what?
And understanding put forth her voice?
Doesn't this understanding, the preaching of the gospel, it pleases God that the world would be saved by none other means than by the preaching of the gospel. And God's choice of human flesh to preach the gospel has always astounded man, like John the Baptist and Elijah and people like that that don't look like preachers. And I guess myself, a lot of people think I look like the mafia or something, because I wear shades because I've got glaucoma. And, you know, I'm not like your Jim Clinton suit, rose hair oil, patent leather shoes or white shoes or those buck shoes that the Baptists wear. I'm not like them. I'm, you know, right off of the chip off of the old Rock of Ages. You know, well, it's not a dress code or any of that that's going to get you into heaven. I just preach the wisdom and knowledge and the power of God. Then what?
She standeth in the top of high places.
Yeah, the highest places. I preach the gospel to kings, to queens, to presidents, to people in the gutters, in the ghettos. To everyone. You know, it's for everyone, to men, to women, and children. Some people say, well, how do you preach the gospel to children? Well, the same way that you preach to adults. I mean, there's not a children's gospel and a woman's gospel and a men's gospel. It's to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
It's unisex. Right? Okay, what else?
She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city.
Yeah, you know, we're like cities unto the Lord, and we're like gardens. He's preaching. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Wisdom, Jesus, the Word, is crying out to you. Come on, get saved. It's the end of the world, and not only that, you don't know 5 minutes from now if you're going to expire and then stand before God. And if the Spirit of the Lord is not in you and your old former sins are not washed away, well, then you're not going to get in. There's only two different places to go, heaven, hell, and the lake of fire. No other options. All right? That's it. Two choices. And we are, well, our soul has a will. And we can will to go to heaven. And if we say, well, we want to, but we don't want to, you know, deny ourselves, and we don't want to take up a cross, and we don't want to live our comfortable living. We want to live as the people of Sodom did, you know, in an atmosphere similar to Palm Springs or some resort area. And we don't want to get up and go out in the street and talk to people that are hippies and drunks and people like that. We don't want to soil our dainty, precious hands. We don't want to be like the lowly Nazarene and go out into the streets and lay hands on people that are sick and that are blind and that are maimed. We don't want to do that. I mean, we believe, you know, that there's a Jesus and a God, but we don't want to do what he says. Well, that's not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is to do what God says. And if you don't do that, well, then shame on you. Okay? Then what else?
She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man.
See, wisdom, Jesus is calling unto men. He's sending us messengers. He's living in us. So it's the incarnation, the continuation of the incarnation of the Lord. He's in those of us that are preaching. The Lord says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days. And he says, his word is spirit and life. So we, in fact, God is using to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And I believe so much in that that we're on the streets distributing literature about ads in the newspapers and all these different things to get to people. And I've got a radio program all over the world. And we've got a website, and, you know, there's all kinds of ways. We have distributors all over the world. We're giving free literature and Bibles and everything to get people to where they understand wisdom and knowledge and understand, so they can get that in their spirit, so that they can have the words of life, which are spirit and life, into your life. If you don't get that in you, then you won't be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because if you reject the word of God, the spirit of life, well, then you're setting at naught all that the Lord has. And if you read the first chapter of Proverbs, you're going to find out that the Lord will mock and laugh at you when you're going out into the lake of fire. You're going to know that the Lord says, because you mocked him by not wanting to hear from him, he's going to mock you and laugh at you. You'll say, oh, God, and he'll go, oh, God. You'll say, please, God, don't do me this way. And he'll say, oh, please, God, don't do me this way. Oh, God, you're mocking me. Oh, God, you're mocking me. You mock me, too. You mock me. You didn't seek my word, my power, my wisdom, my knowledge, my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you want mercy. You didn't receive my word and deal it to other people in the world so that they could be saved, but you wanted to live in comfort. Now you're going to go to the biggest workhouse in eternity. And while you're working down there eternally, you're going to feel the fires of hell on you and the misery and the tortures of hell. Well, I don't want, you said, I don't want to serve a God like that that would do that. Well, listen, God is a dictator, and you can say that if you want, but you're going to be serving eternity in hell and the lake of fire for eternity. Yet eternity never ends. Why will you not sacrifice this ridiculous nothing life and begin serving the Lord? However rich you think you are, powerful, you're nothing when you come to the end of the line. There's a big article about President Clinton. He says, I'm dying and I don't want to. You know, I think the worst mistake I ever made is to kill those people over at Waco, to send troops over there to kill them, along with that lesbian Janet Reno. That was the worst mistake I ever made. That wasn't a mistake, Mr. Clinton. That was sin. You need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You need to, let wisdom, Jesus, knowledge, power come into your spirit. Now, if I didn't love your soul, I wouldn't be telling you these things. I could be angry at you because you called the churches of Christ a cult. You said that there are many cults in Arkansas. We're not a cult. You belong to the biggest cult in the world that need the people there need to be saved. We don't burn people at the cross or feed people to the lions like they've done for centuries or burn them up. We have pictures of those tanks shooting flamethrowers in there after you set this flammable gas into them. And, you know, you all of you people that did that, repent. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ. God will forgive you no matter what kind of sins you've done. But you need to repent and ask wisdom, knowledge, and power, which is the Word of God, which is Christ, to enter into you. Okay, let's continue on.
O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye.
Understand wisdom. That means understand Jesus. He's the wisdom. Understand the Word of God. Jesus said that he is the Word of God. Understand Jesus is what it's saying. The wisdom and power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
And ye fools, be of an understanding heart.
You fools, those of you that say there's no God, so we'll do whatever we want. You know, we'll kill, we'll torture people, we'll persecute people of the Lord. Don't you know that God will curse you? You think that the things that are happening to you, if you're sick and diseased, you know, some of you people out there, if you only understood, if you come to my church, and even if you are attacking us right now, and you're sick and your family is sick, or they need operations and they're dying, if you bring them in to my church, I'll pray for you and you'll be healed. But if you keep fighting us, I mean, you're not fighting us. You're fighting the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding the power of God. And there won't be any healing for you. You may have heard all kinds of things about me, just like you hear all these filthy things about Jesus. Because there's the devil in the world. And the devil doesn't like Jesus. He doesn't like anybody that has the power and the wisdom of God, which is Jesus, the Word of God in them. He doesn't like them. So we're going to continue tomorrow, but we've got a few testimonials here that we're going to read. Mark that spot, Sharon, so that we can continue with that chapter, which is the chapter that shows Jesus, that Jesus is the wisdom and power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so where is this first testimonial from Lydia?
From San Diego, California.
Okay, let's read it real fast. We're almost out of time.
Dear Brother Alamo, first I want to give thanks to my Lord Jesus, and I want to share a testimony of how God touched my family. On the 8th of December, my son, who is 8 years old, was very sick with a virus in Mexico. As I stayed in contact with him and prayed with him several times a day, he didn't seem to be getting any better. I told him that God was going to heal him and that he was to be patient and that God was going to do the work. Finally, around 7:30 p.m. that day, I called the Alamo prayer line, and Brother Rick, who answered the phone, agreed with me in prayer for my son and that God would heal him. And I felt in my spirit that he was healed right after our prayer of agreement. A few minutes after that phone call, I called Mexico and spoke with my son, and he testified that he was feeling much better and was no longer sick.
Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, and if you people are sick, I mean, we don't make a circus, a three-ring circus out of the healing lines and things like that, but you just simply come in. You can come in during the day or whenever I'm available, and I'll pray for you, or you could call and I'll pray for you, and you've got something wrong with your body or some kind of problem, call or write in your prayer request, and I'll pray, and you'll see that the Lord will heal you, just like this person did. Then what?
I just want to express my thanks to God and the Alamo Ministries for the 24-hour prayer line. Thank you for showing love and your availability and ministry to those in need. Sincerely in Christ, Brother Martin from San Diego, California.
Okay, well, that's all we have time for today. And Sharon, I just want you to read one more of the something from the Word of God. That's 1 Corinthians 1:22 through 24, showing that this is the book of Proverbs. This is the wisdom. I'm telling you the wise thing to do, the things that Jesus says to do. Go ahead, read it.
For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek...
Yeah, now the Jews, you know, they require a sign, and God will give them a sign, but the Greeks require worldly wisdom. Okay, then what?
The Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified.
Yeah, the power and the wisdom of God. Then what? We preach Christ crucified. Well, what's so great about preaching Christ crucified? Because he wants you to know that he loves you so much that if you'll receive him, then you and do his, what he says, because everything with him is conditional, then you'll be saved. Then what?
Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God.
Right. And the wisdom chapter in the book of Proverbs is chapter 8. So until tomorrow, you know, you can just keep reading that. But those of you that want to receive wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power, healing, all the blessings of the Lord, which is financial help and all these things, mainly that you're going to be in heaven for eternity. You know, what a horrible thing to do, to live in this horrible dark world without any light, without any direction, and then wind up in a place billions, trillions of times worse than here. So to avoid that, you can be saved. You can be born again of the Spirit, God, Jesus, with God the Father, and the Holy Spirit will enter your heart, your spirit right now, and you'll be saved. And then you'll start being able to understand the Bible as you never have before in your whole life. Because the Spirit of understanding and wisdom and knowledge enters you, and you can communicate. You can receive communication from God by the Spirit and from the Word, which is Spirit and life. So say this prayer: My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away of the past that I've done in the past, away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You said that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to be, I'm being saved now. And so therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. It's that simple. People stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. But the Lord makes it so simple that even little 4 and 5 year old children can understand it. Therefore, I know I'm saved, tell the Lord. And then raise your hands up and thank and praise the Lord. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, and keep doing that, because the power of God is in those that praise and thank the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is in praises to him. Now, Sharon, tell them 4 different ways to receive a copy of program number 272. Everything is paid for. Go ahead.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, if you're receiving something from this ministry, support it, because you can't take it with you where you're going, whether in heaven or hell. And if you've got something, don't hold back from the Lord, you know, so we can get this gospel out all over the world. I'm going to sing for you in just a minute, but until tomorrow, make sure you tune in tomorrow, because there's going to be another power-packed-filled message from God Almighty himself. And here I am singing, You Can't Take It With You.
music in a turmoil by the sidewalk. Somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk, when they could do more than just debate. Everybody's sweating about the dollar, yelling penny saved is penny earned. How's it gonna help them when they holler if it sends them to a place to burn? You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. Help somebody turn a tear to laughter. Peace will never return along your way. There's no social standings in hereafter. Everybody dies the same old way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter day. When you help somebody be for you, you can't shuck the Lord now, don't you know? Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.